The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's a beautiful.
Aging works in different ways for everyone. It all starts from the inside. Welcome to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We'll show you how the latest breakthroughs in understanding how to balance and optimize your body, proper nutrition, and supplements work together to keep you looking young, losing weight, and feeling rejuvenated. Now, here's Dr. Tang and Alexandra.
Hello, hello. Oh, this is Dr. Tang. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Alexandra.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show. Today, we're going to be talking about multivitamins. Do we need them? Do we need to take them? And if so, how do we go about choosing? There's so many vitamin supplements out there. There's multivitamins. There's energy vitamins, you name it, they run the gamut. And Dr. Tang, since we've started providing supplements in our clinic, we're always asked, and even myself as a person trying to maintain a healthy life, we're always asked, what is a great multivitamin out there? And what should we be looking for? And what should I take? What should I not take? What do you think about this?
This is a very, I think, important talk. And like you said, we get asked this question all the time. And so I thought I would dedicate a show to help our audience really figure this out. The first thing I wanted to really mention as a general statement is that you should always remember that, you know, having a healthy, balanced diet consisting, what I think, at least 6 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables is important, and vitamins should not take the place of actually these supplements at all. So the one thing I want to really emphasize is that vitamins should be considered as supplements to be in addition to what we eat, and we should always encourage people to eat a very healthy diet. Now, that diet should consist of good fruits and vegetables that are organic if possible, that are not cooked too high in too much heat, let's say. It should be in its rawest form if possible, or cooked at a low temperature. So this should be maintained as much as possible. But as you know, in a typical American diet, us being Americans, we oftentimes are not able to fulfill dietary obligations. And so this is where the supplements take place. Now, as another reminder, I think also what's important is that if you do have a medical condition, this should always be evaluated by a physician who understands the problems that you're facing, because ultimately when you have a medical condition or symptoms, this should be first diagnosed properly, and oftentimes this will require proper testing, and that can include laboratory testing, saliva testing, or other tests. So if there is any type of concern, this should be first evaluated by a medical physician. Now, once you make that determination that your health is relatively good, then at that point you can consider maybe taking a supplement. Now, the most common supplement would be a multivitamin. And as you see in the store, when you go to the grocery store, there are tons of vitamins that you can pick from. As a general talk, you have to understand that the vitamin industry has grown from a multi-million dollar industry to a multi-billion dollar industry. And so there are so many things. So we have to really learn how to navigate and learn how to pick the multivitamins. So today, I do have a special guest. His name is Dan Socek. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Dr.
Okay, great. So Dan has, I asked Dan to join us today to talk about this important topic. Dan has several years of experience working in the supplement industry and has worked with hundreds of doctors to really help them implement nutrition and supplementation into their practice. So Dan has extensive knowledge in the supplement industry, and that includes the manufacturing of vitamins and the FDA regulations of the vitamins. So I thought that Dan could really help us really kind of navigate this this growing industry. So Dan, you know, can you tell us a little bit about the history of supplements?
Sure. You know, I think before you hit it, hit the nail on the head. The industry itself has just exploded in recent years, and I think primarily because a lot more Americans are seeing a need, and I don't think they know exactly why they're taking vitamins, but they see a need, so they're actually going out and buying it. So obviously, in our society, supplement industry saw the consumer needed it, supply and demand. So it has exploded. Now, that unfortunately has caused a discrepancy. You've got a wide range of quality out there, and I think it's very confusing to not only the consumer but also to doctors as far as recommendation and what they should take before a multivitamin.
And then, you know, one comment I would like to also add is that, in general, for doctors, you know, doctors such as me, you know, when we actually are in our training, we really get no training in vitamin supplementation. So our training obviously is knowing about different drugs, medications, and how to diagnose and treat with medications. But just to kind of give our audience a background, doctors receive, I would say, zero training in the idea of supplementation. The other thing also was that if you actually look at the consensus statements by the big medical boards, the medical boards really don't actually advocate the use of multivitamins. The only use that they would advocate it is when there is a huge nutrient deficiency or when someone really has what they consider poor nutrient status. But in general, they do not actually advocate the use for the general population vitamins or multivitamins. So I think that should be something that's understood by the audience.
Right. I know that another part of the confusion is that any day you can go to the local news or even CNN and you can see, you know, multivitamin will cut your cancer risk. And then the next day you can click on the same website and it may say a multivitamin has been found to cause cancer. So you're getting a lot of contrasting information from many different sources. And that just adds to the confusion. I hope that I can clear up some of that confusion today with you and help to really give the audience a base knowledge on what to look for when they're going out and buying a supplement such as a multivitamin.
So in general, what should patients be looking for? I mean, if they're in good health, what they consider good health, they're not really suffering for any symptoms, let's say. So, and, you know, like you said, that they're hearing that multivitamins could be beneficial. And, you know, as we know, a lot of other patients are taking it. So they say, oh, well, I should probably take it. So what should they be looking for?
You know, I think the base knowledge, one thing when it comes to supplements, and as I said, with the growing, with the boom of the supplement industry, you have a big contrast of really good quality products and really the vast majority are poor quality. So the first thing that I would look for and really just kind of keep in your mind is you get what you pay for in supplements and vitamins. So if you go to a store you know, your local Walgreens, Costco, and it's a huge bottle, and it says mega multi, and it looks like, you know, 1,000 pills or tablets for $19.99, and it's going to last you 6 months. Basically, what you're getting out of that is nothing. So a really good base is you get what you pay for, and if it looks like it's too good to be true, 99% of the time it is.
You know, I actually, you know, I was just looking through the aisles the other day when we went to Target, and, you know, I know a lot of people, like you said, get their vitamins at these national chain stores. So I figured, okay, let's just, you know, pick randomly some of these multivitamins. So I picked Ascension Silver, which is, you know, a very common vitamin. I just randomly picked it, and I one a day for men and for women. So, you know, these are something I hear all the time. People take, you know, when I ask, do you take a multivitamin? They say yes. What do you take? Well, I take Centrum or one a day. So I just randomly pick these vitamins, and so we can talk, you know, first about these labels. First of all, the labels, is this something that we can trust? I mean, is this something that patients can say, okay, this is what it has? Or should we also have a little mistrust or distrust about the labeling?
You know, I often say that really all the label is a bunch of letters and numbers. It really does not tell you the full story at all. When you look at a label, I think most people look at a few basic things and then stop. One thing to go back a little, I would avoid also anything, since you said you did pick out a one a day or Centrum Silver, any multivitamin that is a one a day or a single tablet product, I would just avoid it at all costs. If you can imagine this, all these different lists of ingredients that you see on that supplement back box jammed into one tablet and compressed down. It is the lowest grade quality of raw material, and it's also just so compressed that 9 times out of 10, it really doesn't even break down. So you get absolutely zero benefit from it.
So when you say compressed, what does that really mean to the average person when it's compressed?
Compressor is just it's binded together. So you can imagine they have all these different raw materials. And so vitamin D has a different consistency than a vitamin E. A copper, selenium, all these different ingredients have different formats. It's just like if you're baking a cake, you're just kind of throwing in all these different substances. It's the same thing with a multivitamin. They throw these things into a mixing barrel. They put them all together. They will add some excipients, which are keeping them flowing, and binding agents. And in this case, with these lower cost multivitamins, these binding agents are bad for you, and they're low grade. And then they simply will force them into a tablet form, and it's
okay.
Just a compression into a tablet form. It's that simple.
Dan, we're coming to a break now, so why don't you hold that thought? We'll have people hear our sponsors, and we'll come right back.
Life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living The Vital Life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Zoom Leadership. It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal. Zoom Leadership. It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Zoom Leadership. An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
It's a beautiful day.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at resuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at R-E-J-U-V-E-Medical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. This is the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. And as a reminder, if you do have any questions or comments, you know, this is a live show, so we're taking calls. If you care to join us, our phone number here is 866-472-5792. Or if you have any comments, if you're listening at one of our recasts, you can also email us. And our email is John Tang, that's one word, J-O-H-N-T-A-N-G, at resuvemedical.com. So we are talking about supplements, multivitamins, and I'm here with my special guest, Dan. And Dan was talking to us about these binders, and I kind of wanted to give some examples of some binders that I would kind of see in multivitamins. So, you know, this is oftentimes a, I think, a signal to people interested in vitamins to really steer away, because binders really have no health benefit. They're like Dan said, they're there just to compress these vitamins. And I would say oftentimes people can have allergies. You know, when somebody takes a multivitamin and they say, "Well, I had a rash from the multivitamin," you could probably pretty much bet that this binder, this filler, was there, and that was what people reacted to. So, Dan, you know, what are some of the common binders? What should we be really looking for things in the labeling?
You know, a better word is probably like an excipient is what they're better known for. And what a good one would be, I think maybe instead of a, like you can think of like a calcium citrate, instead of that you'll see a calcium carbonate. There's just a lot of different ways to look at it, and the really important thing is that they kind of try to hide it within the label.
Right. So, for instance, you know, just looking at the bottle here, so, you know, usually on top they kind of list, you know, what kind of vitamins that they have. But under the ingredients, this is really where it's a very telling part of it. So I'll just pick out some of these things. For instance, this one has gelatinized cornstarch. Cornstarch. Why would we put cornstarch in here? How about some preservatives, polyethylene glycol? How about polyvinyl alcohol? These are all, I think, preservatives. They have some other things such as FDC Red 40, aluminum blake, FDC Blue number 2. You know, these are all unnecessary in terms of what the body needs to have. And so I think in general also the other thing to be mindful is that any ingredient has to be actually metabolized by the liver, and they have to be disposed of. So though this might have some good nutrients, these other bad incipients is something the liver has to work at to clear this out. So this becomes a toxic burden in a sense. So wouldn't you agree with that, Dan?
I would agree with it, and that's kind of a step ahead. Really, when you look at, and I'll go back to tablet form, when it's compressed like that, even with these excipients and binders, it doesn't break down, even in the acidity of the gut, which breaks everything down, it won't break down. In fact, a funny story is I work with a lot of chiropractors, and I've heard this story several times from many different chiropractors, that they'll do an x-ray of a patient and then put it up, and the patient will see a big lump there, and they think it's cancer or something. And nine times out of ten, it's just a Centrum tablet that hasn't broken down, and it's just going through their GI tract. So, yes, I totally agree with you that if it does break down, you're just going to add to your toxic burden. Nine times out of ten, you're not going to get any benefit from these low-grade ingredients, and then you're also adding that toxic burden if it breaks down.
That sounds not very good, I guess. Are there other things that when you look at the labels that you're looking for in a good multivitamin?
Yeah, and one thing goes along with that tablet form. I would look for products that are actually encapsulated. So when it comes to a capsule, and a lot of products, you won't see them very often in standard like Walgreens or Walmart, but encapsulated multivitamins that ask you to take multiple capsules, maybe four in the morning, and then multiple times throughout the day. So maybe four in the morning and four in the evening. It's just a much better way to get the nutrients into your body. One, because the capsules are designed to make it through the acidity of the gut and actually break down in your intestines and where they'll actually be absorbed. And two, to take multiple capsules and multiple times in a day, that is saying that this company knows what they're doing and what they're talking about, and that they're suggesting you do that instead of just taking one a day.
Right. That's a great point. Now, so in other words, are you saying that if the multivitamin is in a tablet form is not as good as if it's encapsulated?
Yes. And you know what? We're generalizing, but most – I'm kind of jaded because I know a lot about the industry, and I know that really everything in the stores that's really accessible to consumers is really not a good quality product, and it's just going to be very limited in its efficacy. I avoid tablets personally with any supplement that I take. They just don't break down as well as a capsule.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things is which I wanted to mention is what is your thoughts about having iron in a multivitamin? Isn't iron something that kind of blocks the absorption of other vitamins and minerals?
No, I've heard that argument before, but I also know that there's a need for iron. So if you look at a truly science-based company, and maybe what your patient, what I guess the listeners should be looking for is a physician-only line of supplements made by a company that's science-based, like the company I work for, Orthomolecular Products. We put so much work into it, and so they know the amount of iron that's going to be safe. When you're looking at a multi, you're really just getting base numbers as far as what you should be ingesting each day. It shouldn't be over the top amount of vitamin A or over the top amount of iron. I think iron should definitely be used on certain patients that need it. A doctor will know which patients need that. We actually, in my company, we have a version of our multi that has iron and a version that does not have iron. So I agree with you. It's just, it's patient.
I see. So, let's also talk about the recommended daily allowance, because I think that could be also a confusing issue for patients. So, when they're looking at the individual vitamins, they're looking at the percentages, let's say. So what does these percentages mean to patients, and what should be the amount that they should be taking?
My stance on that would be to basically don't look at that. That means almost nothing. It's a very, very antiquated system for, I guess, generalizing a base nutrition line. The RDA actually was first put into place during World War II. So I think around 1940 is when they actually put those numbers into place. And it was really they put a panel together that wanted to make sure that our soldiers were getting the right nutrients on the battlefield. Now, that's a very old, antiquated number, and they've updated it a couple times, but I always kind of look at it and say, all right, well, it's the recommended dietary allowance for who? I mean, I'm a 5'7", 37-year-old. I weigh 155 pounds. Should I be taking the same amount of vitamin E as a 65-year-old woman? It never made sense to me. And so in general, and I just don't look at that. It's also misleading to the average consumer when they look at a bottle, and that's what the company that's making that bottle wants you to focus, because they have, you know, 1,000 times the recommended daily allowance of B12. Is that a good thing? I don't think it is. I think it's very misleading. I think the system, the recommended daily allowance or dietary allowance is antiquated. So in general, I would suggest you avoid that.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And also, you know, these recommended daily allowances are the bare minimal. I mean, just to barely function. And in our practice, you know, we're talking about how are we going to optimize the well-being, the wellness of a patient. So oftentimes this would require a lot higher optimization. Now, you know, I understand the patient is a little better because I go through the history and do some testing. So this will allow me to really pick and choose vitamins and give them much higher dosages. So I do have the benefit in general, but the RDA is really the bare essential just for, you know, just barely surviving. So these percentages, like you said, I think are very confusing, like you said. Now, how about any other things that you would want to point out in the labeling process?
Yeah, I would definitely look at a couple things. One, there's the supplement facts box, and that's always where they're going to show you the good things. So that's where they'll list any ingredient like the minerals or vitamins. I think what's important, and it's usually all the bad stuff, is right below that. So it's usually going to say other ingredients or, you know, something like to that effect underneath that label. And that's where you're going to find some of your excipients that we talked about before, maybe artificial coloring. Things like that you just definitely want to avoid. Anything that has any multivitamin that has any sugar or yellow number 5 or what, anything like that, just don't buy it. It's not good for you. That's a big part of reading labels.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And so we're going to be coming for another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick some of these different vitamins just to give you an example of how you can maybe judge one vitamin or another multivitamin from a different company. So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
It's a beautiful day.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
It's a beautiful day.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at resuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
It's a beautiful day.
We're back, and we're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. We have a special guest, Dan Socek. We're talking about multivitamins. The one thing I wanted to kind of go into the next subject in terms of the vitamins is I wanted to kind of pick a few of the actual vitamins and minerals. And I use this oftentimes to gauge how well put together these multivitamins are. So I kind of wanted to pick vitamin E and calcium as just, you know, one of the things I look at. So in vitamin E, for instance, you're looking at the amounts that they usually come in international units, but more importantly than the amount itself is what type of vitamin E that's inside the multivitamin. So usually you won't be able to tell that in the first part of the labeling process. So you have to actually go down to the ingredients. And under the ingredients, they will always tell you what form of vitamin E that is in this particular multivitamin. And so the ones I look for instance, in the E, they'll tell you which form, the DL form, which, the DL alpha tocopherol. I really don't actually like any of the DL forms. The DL to me stands for lousy. It's just one type of vitamin E, which is not readily used by the body. And if you have a lot of this actually will, in a way, compete against your natural forms of vitamin E, which are much more helpful. So I look for this. And so when a multivitamin has the DL form of the vitamin E, to me, this is something that will say, don't buy it right away. So if they have that form, forget it. I'm not buying it. In terms of the calcium, you know, calcium, a lot of people are really tune in to calcium. They hear that calcium is really good for bones. They want to strengthen the bones, and so they want to take, you know, calcium. Now, calcium comes in many different forms, so you really want to buy the right form of calcium if you are going to take that. So, Dan, can you tell us about the forms of calcium that you would look for?
Yeah, that is the tricky one. There's the citrate. There's lactate, there's malate, and then carbonate. Carbonate would be the worst. I think you could probably get a decent absorption rate with lactate, and citrate is probably the next step up. We use a malate. So my advice would be to stay away from carbonate when it comes to calcium.
And calcium and carbonate, it's really, really popular. I mean, if you look under the calcium part of it, it's all a lot of these forms are calcium carbonate. So be careful about that. Like Dan said, it is not very bioavailable. So when you take it, it really doesn't get into your system. So it really doesn't do anything. So The other thing that I find is that if you are having or suffering from, let's say, osteoporosis or something called osteopenia, which is a step below osteoporosis, and basically what that means is that you have weakening in the bones. The forms that I look for, and this is usually not in a multivitamin, this is something I usually have to give extra supplements, is the calcium hydroxyapatite form, which is a form of calcium that can only be used by the body as bone-building calcium. Because what I've heard is that other forms, if you take too much of that, you know, calcium is just calcium, is an ion that can be readily used by the body for other purposes. And calcium is a very important messenger in the body that can be used. So if you are taking the form in too much, for instance, the body's really not going to use it for bone, but it'll be using it for other things, and some of which are not very good. For instance, calcifications in the arteries. So you do want to look at the form of calcium. Dan, any other comments that you have with any other supplements you want to, or any particular vitamins you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I think another thing to look for is when buying a mineral, any kind of mineral or vitamin. Minerals especially, look for like a glycinate chelate, chelated. We use a company, our vendor is called Albion Labs. They actually chelate the minerals. So this, what that means is they basically take a, minerals are inorganic, so they're not able to be absorbed by the body. They're difficult to be absorbed. So they chelate it and make it an organic material, and then it can actually be absorbed more easily by the body. So that's one thing you want to look for. Another thing that I would look for anytime with in any supplement is next to a lot of these forms, look for the letters USP, and that stands for United States Pharmacopoeia, and that means it's the highest grade raw material that's out there, and it's been qualified. So you know that you're getting a high-quality product. If it doesn't say USP next to it, it's probably a low-grade raw material.
So USP, where would that be stated, and where can people look for this USP labeling?
USP is just going to – so let's say you look on the label, and under your calcium, it'll say the form – hopefully you're getting the citrate, and then it might say USP right next to it in uppercase letters. It'll really just be D2 USP. It'll say it right next to it on that line.
So if it doesn't say it, then it's not as good?
Exactly. You know, I often use this analogy when it comes to making supplements. Really, they run the spectrum. So if you want to go build a house, you can go to Home Depot and you can get the cheapest wood that has knots in it, that's going to break and it's cracked and it's old and it's rotting, and you can still build a house with it. It's probably not going to last, and the wind's going to blow it down. It's going to be cheap. The same can you can also go to Home Depot and buy good quality oak that's in perfect shape, and it's treated, and it's actually going to make your house last for 100 years. The exact same when it comes to raw materials. So you can even get the wrong form, but you can also get a poor quality. So some of these other, you may see half of the ingredients listed have the right form that we've talked about, but they're probably still a low grade. So if it doesn't say USP, that means they may just be buying the cheapest calcium citrate on the market, and it's really not good for you. It's not as good a quality as you can find.
And what does USP stand for again?
United States Pharmacopoeia.
Okay, great. Now another thing, for instance, is the iron. Like Dan was saying, that you know, iron is usually bound to some molecule, and so the most common things that people take for iron supplementation is iron sulfate. So oftentimes when people take iron sulfate, it causes a lot of stomach issues. They can get stomach pain, constipation, and this is why people say, well, I don't like to take iron because I don't feel good when I take iron. Now, like Dan said, you know, if you take the chelated form or the bisglycinate forms of the iron, it is really an inorganic molecule. So what happens is when you take the form that is indicated, that's correct, your body doesn't have that reaction. So you get the iron that you need, but you don't have the reaction. So, you know, this once again really underscores really the understanding of what forms are useful and what forms that you should avoid. So that's a great point, Dan. Now,
Dr. Tang, can you spell that for our audience? Because I know women are very interested in iron supplements. You know, I always hear our patients say, oh, sometimes when I feel tired, I take a little extra iron. But can you just spell that form that our patients should be looking for?
Sure. So the forms you do not want to take is sulfate, S-U-L-F-A-T-E. The form that you want to look for is the one we have is bisglycinate. It's B-I-S. Glycinate is G-L-Y-C-I-N-A-T-E. So that form is very, almost all cases, very harmless. So there's really no reaction that people will have. And people who have sensitive stomachs can still take this and still not be induced to having some stomach reaction.
Okay, thank you. You know, I do have a question for Dan, and it's regarding liquid supplements, Dan. I know a lot of listeners perhaps could relate to this, and a lot of our patients have a hard time taking vitamins, tablets or capsules. They feel like they have a time swallowing, or they feel nauseated afterwards. So they look for a liquid form of a vitamin. How do you feel about the liquid form vitamins that are out there?
Now, I'm very skeptical of any liquid multi. Again, that goes back to the looks too good to be true. It probably is. You have to think about the manufacturing process on that. You're taking, again, like I said, that big vat of all these different materials and ingredients it's going in there. Well, now with the liquid, they're somehow breaking all that powdery substance down into a liquid, and then putting it into something else to make it taste good. And now, if you think about the different tastes, I mean, what does vitamin B taste like? What does magnesium or copper or manganese taste like? Who knows? So to get it to taste good, there has to be bad things in it. You know, we talked about not avoiding sugar and those different excipients. I just think there's too much involved. It's too hard of a process to make a good quality liquid multi. It's probably doable, but I think it would price it out of the market. So I don't think anything you find in the store is really going to be beneficial.
So would you say that you, if they could not take anything oral by capsule, would you say don't even try to take the liquid form?
No. Or would you say? What I would suggest is look at a high quality company that has a good. It'll be in a more like the meal replacement section, a protein replacement. A lot of times these meal replacements or functional foods will have a strong mineral and vitamin backbone to them. They're still in the powder form. They've obviously are mixed with some other things like the protein, but at least you're getting a higher quality and your absorption is going to be better. That's what I usually recommend for patients that have issues with taking capsules.
That's a great point. That's great feedback.
Well, you know, by the way, you know, we do have in our practice, to let our audience know, for people who do have problems swallowing capsules or pills, we do have, like Dan said, powder forms that have different combinations, and they have whole fruits and vegetables with other added ingredients such as fiber and protein and multiple things that I think are healthy. So we have those options for patients, and I think that this kind of in a way begs the question also is that some patients will ask us, okay, well, why don't I take a a encapsulated form of a whole fruit and vegetable. Isn't that better than taking vitamins? So that's something I want people to think about. We are coming to a break at this point, but when we come back, let's have Dan answer that question. The question is, how is it compared to, how is multivitamins compared to whole fruits and vegetables that are encapsulated? So stay tuned for that.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at resuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at R-E-J-U-V-E-Medical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you once again for joining us. I hope you're enjoying our show today. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We are talking about, well, I actually posed the question, and the question was, is that, how do multivitamins compare to formulations that have encapsulated forms of fruits and vegetables? So which one should be taken, and how do you decide? Dan, do you have any comments on that?
I do. I think you would agree that our foods today being mass-produced, our soils aren't adding the nutrients that they used to. There's the pesticides, herbicides. So, I always kind of question how much is really in an apple these days. So anytime you go with a quality multi that maybe has a greens type or fruit element to it, one, you're getting 20 times the potency of real food. It's no substitute for it, but, you have to pick the right kind of foods if you are going to eat them to really compare. You just really can't replace a good diet, but a supplement, a good quality supplement, is going to be, the potency is just going to be a lot more.
I see. Well, I think my comment would be that in our office, we have both, actually. When I do testing, I do, like I said, have that advantage of kind of knowing what patients need, and sometimes I can really handpick and select the particular vitamin or vitamins that they need. And if it's the multivitamin, then so be it. But I like to have kind of both options because I know some patients are more vitamins and some patients like to take kind of like the whole product. And so we do have several things. So I want, you know, patients to be comfortable in what they're taking. So if they didn't necessarily feel comfortable with one versus the other, then we have kind of both. You know, one of the supplements that we have is, for instance, is a product that has, you know, they have whole fruits and vegetables, and it's certified or organic. And, you know, they have pretty much like 10 servings of fruits and vegetables in it. So it's a powder that you mix with water. And so, you know, I do think that you can get a good amount of nutrition and vitamins supplements in doing that. So, you know, it is kind of something that I think people sometimes can choose, but it has to be, like Dan said, a very good quality supplement first, and a good quality fruits and vegetable supplement to really even talk the same language. So I think that's very important to really consider. Now, I know, Alexandra, over the break, I know you have a really dire question to ask Dan. and I don't want to kind of take up all the time because it's almost running out of time here. So
right.
What's the question you wanted to ask Dan?
Well, I just wanted his opinion on children's vitamins. I know that the vitamins that our children take are through Dan's company. And I know that they're getting the quality that they need. But for our listeners out there, for the moms out there and the dads who want their children to be in some type of supplement for children, what do we say to those parents, and what should they look for when they're looking for a multivitamin? Because as you know, there's a lot out there for kids. Flintstones, gummy bears, chewables. What do you recommend?
Well, again, this, I'll always go back to it's a that, you know, it's too good to be true. It is, and that would fall into the Flintstones and gummies. Those are just you might as well just eat candy. Really,
okay.
So avoid those. Avoid those at all costs. There's just nothing in them. It's the lowest grade. They make it so the kids ask for it because they're basically candy with a little vitamin down that aren't going to do a whole lot. I would go to, a more integrative physician, a pediatrician. They should be able to – they may carry a line like ours that has that's a true kids multi. The trick with any multi, we did a decent job of making ours taste good because with kids it's just very difficult. You never know from kid to kid if they're really going to eat it. Some may think ours tastes like candy. It's difficult to make vitamins taste good and still use quality raw materials. So I would just say that if it tastes good, it's probably not a good vitamin. I would suggest going to a pediatrician that's a little more integrative that may carry supplements and ask them for their opinion.
Well, Daniel, we do the super newts, and the super newts are for children's vitamins, and you know, the bottom line is our kids love the multivitamin. My 4-year-old, as Alexandra can contest, he asks us vitamins every night. He asks for vitamins. So there's something about it that he likes, obviously. So what is in there that he likes about it?
No, I believe that product's sweetened with the stevia, so it's not it's sweet. You know, it's going to taste a little bit more like a candy product so that they will eat it. But what we're talking, you need to kind of draw that line between it being edible and sort of sweet versus this is a gummy bear and it tastes really great and I want it because it's a candy. It basically tastes like a candy. You know, a lot with children, my opinion is your presentation. If you present it like, hey, this is medicine, take it, they're going to find a way to say it tastes bad. But if you present it as, hey, you want some candy and it's the our Super Newt's wafer, they're probably going to think it's candy because it is sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the point is that look out for stevia, and stevia is a very natural sugar, and you should really look for that as an active ingredient versus the gummy bears. And it's kind of like if you took a Coke can and you put some vitamin C and say, here, it has vitamin C in it. But you know, as you know, there's a lot of sugars in the gummy bears. But Dan, thank you so much for joining us. I think you really enlightened us and our audience, and we should definitely have you back to talk about more about multivitamins or other vitamins at some later point. But I really want to thank you for being here with us today.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dan.
So for our audience, next week, as you know, it's Halloween, and so I thought it would be most appropriate to talk about one of our services that we do, and interesting enough, it's called the Vampire Facelift. And so I thought it'd be very appropriate to talk about that on Halloween. And hopefully we can have a lively discussion. We'll try to make a little fun, a little spooky, a little scientific, hopefully, too. So please join us next week and listen to the Vampire Facelift. Thank you once again for joining us on our show. We'll be back next week at 4 p.m. as always. And I would always like to remind people, like I always say, go out and live your life. Don't let life leave you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. It's a beautiful day.
Live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live younger this week. It's a beautiful